All right, and we're back here on Out of the Woods. One of the regular features we've been enjoying a lot lately are the little tidbits sent to us from Trail Mix out there at Pine Cone Radio in Pine Mountain Club, California, who air the show on Sundays and I believe on Mondays. And whenever it strikes his fancy, he may be spinning it out there as well. Peter Gullerud, he's a real talent and he puts these things together. I have a lot of people who've been commenting lately how much they love the Gumby episodes that Peter has put together for the visually impaired. So we're going to dig up some of those for you right now, and we're going to do two of them tonight. This is going to be a part one of two, and you'll have to stay tuned for the second half of it at the end of the show. But we're going to start off with the Trail Mix intro tonight, just for fun, here on Out of the Woods.
Split the praises, you mule-hip cayuses! Well, hey there, doggy dreamers. It's that time of the week again, kids. It's that time when all us mountain men, women, and children round up the cattle, get back home, and get ourselves some vittles and lovin'. Woo-wee! Yes, sir. It's time for Peter Gullerud's Trail Mix.
Jumped into the television. Well, good morning, children. It's time for another episode of Gumby for the visually impaired. Well, let's watch an old classic, shall we? This one is called Moon Trip. Very classic, surreal claymation animated cartoon for everybody. Now, as you know, Gumby for the visually impaired are for those who wish to know what's going on in a Gumby cartoon, but because of their own impairment can't see what's going on, so they need a little vocal advice. It's sort of like a audio button that you get on DVDs for movies. And they describe what's going on in the movie. And it's also for those who can see, their eyeballs are working, But they just get a little bit creeped out by Gumby cartoons, and so they'd rather hear about the story than have to watch the visual manifestations of Art Clokey's surreal claymation world, which he forces upon us in his own strange way. Here's Moon Trip, and we'll take you Moon Trip Part 1, actually. It says Moo Rip, then Gumby comes in and adds an N and a T, and now it says Moon Trip. There's Gumby, early episode where he has little cinnamon balls for eyeballs, and he's looking at a telescope, and he's smiling at the camera, and then now he's looking through the... Oh, there's a creepy-looking moon with a strange face. Looks like poorly drawn on a cookie. There's... Now he's looking down, and he's looking around at a helicopter and space rockets and some kind of bulbous thing. And his hands are up like a zombie. Good Lord, he's strange in these early cartoons. His hands are on his hips. He eyeballs the helicopter, then the spacecraft, then the bulbous thing that looks like a space shuttle made out of yellow Tupperware balls. He's climbing up into the spacecraft.
Oh, boy!
Oh, he does talk in this one. He says, oh, boy. And he looks at the inside. It's a wonderful spacecraft, something Carl Sagan would be proud of. And he's looking at his gyroscope thingy-me-gene, smiling in that strange way he smiles. I wish you people with impairment could see the way he smiles. It's kind of creepy, so you people who can't handle the creepiness, just know he's smiling creepy. And his mouth is sort of like yellow Play-Doh, like spaghetti. And they've added animation to the space shuttle. His parents are looking up a little concerned because Gumby's sweating. I don't know how they got that. It must have been honey on his... Clear honey. No, probably epoxy. Oh, good Lord. His parents just melted and then popped up again to avoid the space shuttle swooping down. The father, with a Ronald Reagan haircut, jumps into a sports car right out of a sports car toy box, thinking he can maybe drive to the moon or something to save Gumby. I don't know. There goes the space shuttle. Too late. Gumby's off. Once again, the father has to melt to avoid the swooping spacecraft because it's a playful, kind of a irritatingly teasing kind of a space. Now he's up in space. And there goes the United States of America and the globe. It looks like a globe you'd see in any schoolroom. Beware, it says. Asteroids ahead, it says, on the meter that Gumby's looking at. He doesn't care. The asteroid has a scary-looking face on it coming towards him. Danger signal is blipped. Oh, my goodness. Gumby's eyes got really big. He's scared. Is he going to have to blow up the... what's he going to do? There comes the evil-looking asteroid. What is happening now? Whew. He said, I said it at the same time. He missed the asteroid. Didn't have to blow it up. Didn't have to kill the asteroid. Now he's headed towards a creepy-looking moon that looks like a big cookie. Hits a button called Cruise. Slow land. He hits a button that says slow land. And now he's going into some craters that look like white clay. There's the Tupperware space shuttle landing with animation... fire coming from the butt of the space shuttle. It's about to land. It's blue. Little smoke coming. It's touching down. And slow. Oh, it looks very effective. I'm sure Art Clokey was proud of this one. Gumby looking. Gumby saying, phew. Looks worried, concerned. He's opening a hatch, which allows Gumby to leave the space shuttle. He has no... He has no good news. Good Lord, he's making weird sounds as he hits the ground and scratches his butt. That was pretty risque for back then. Warning, you are 6 times lighter. Use these weights, a sign says. Use these weights and an arrow pointing to a bunch of black balls that he puts around his waist so that he will stay on the moon because of the gravity, the lack of gravity. A bunch of explosions, a bunch of little triangles coming up. Uh-oh, the space shuttle's destroyed by the explosions. I don't know where those explosives came from. There's a bunch of strange Star Trek-type triangle things that come up, almost like tumors on the moon. Orange tumors. Uh-oh, eyeballs are coming out of the tumors. The tumor is... Gumby's leaning on one of them, and then it fades out. And we go to the next scene.
Here comes another adventure with our son Gumby and his friends.
I'm so proud of our boy.
That's very strange. The next one's called Gumby on the Moon, but we only have time for one episode. Wow, what a cliffhanger. The last scene we saw was Gumby leaning against one of the orange triangles, which eyeballs popped out of. And then it just shoots right back to the parents, totally calm, sitting in their living room, saying, let's wait for another Gumby episode. What did we learn from this episode, children? We learned, first of all, that sometimes our parents are oblivious to the trauma that we're going through because they have their own concerns. We learned that you cannot always rely on NASA technology. The spacecraft Tupperware thing blew up from explosions. We don't know where they came from. And we also learned that Gumby, in the early episodes anyway, didn't talk very much. He just said, oh boy, wow. And I don't think he said, this is keen. He says, this is keen in a lot of episodes, but not this one. Anyway, we learned that Gumby is in trouble, and his parents just don't care. Kind of indicative of 21st century modern America, maybe. I don't know. It's almost as if Art Clokey was a foreseer, a seer, a prophet, if you will, of what is to come in America these days. Of course, this story continues, and we'll try to follow it up with future episodes, but right now we have to get into music.
It would take a man of independent means to win a legend of the screen. And I am armed with little more than guile to capture her half smile. Anyone can tell I'm in love with Zoe Deschanel. If I was the one to write the script, oh, what words I put on her lips. Anyone can tell I'm in love with Zoe Deschanel. And when she looks off to the left or to the right, her eyes fill up with why. And I know she will never call my name, but to me she's Zoe just the same. Anyone can tell I'm in love with Zoe Deschanel.
I'm in love with Zoe Deschanel. I'm in love with Zoe.
My eyes are so bleary. I guess I'm young, but I feel so weary. I try to express it, but I think it's all a bore. It's at the heart of me, a very part of me. Speak slowly, I can't hear you. My mind keeps spinning closer and closer to the rain on the roof and the rain in my head and the things that you said. Keep on thinking further ahead and it just gets so foggy. It's nowhere in here and it's everywhere else that I don't want to be. But I'm stuck here getting misty over you. I'm alone on a bicycle for two.
Ever-loving door. Hey. rowdy, everybody. I hope you're ready for a little more. Before I get the Sundowners back up here, and before we continue, there's just something I want to share with you here. This is an email that I received in February of this year. This fella says, he says, Corin, and he tells me he runs an open mic, right? And then he says, we're an open mic, of course, but we also have a feature at every show. I saw you about a year or two ago and thought you and your buddy would be a good feature. Our features do a half hour. I don't see why I should correct his typos here. Our features do a half hour, and we only pay $50. But if you were stuck in town here on a first, third, or fifth Sunday night any month of the year, this would beat sitting in a motel room watching Simpsons reruns, which you realize as the email goes on, no, it wouldn't. We'd have to know a few months in advance, of course. But to be honest, there was one problem. Your tendency to flood the audience with patter prior to each song would mean that they would get one or at best two songs out of you guys during a half-hour feature. I mean, if we were to book you as a music act, that would be a poor payoff for the crowd. And if we booked you as a word act, well, then the music portion would seem superfluous. This is my favorite. What to do? It sure is a puzzler. I know it's been a few years now. Maybe that need for extended talk prior to each song has passed. It wouldn't go down well with my audiences, as they are a well-read, well-educated bunch. Not like you guys. And they do not appreciate long intros or histories. They'll get, puts that in quotes, they'll get any song you throw at them. Trust them. We really enjoyed the music part of your portion of the show. Anyway, I hope you're well and good, not wallowing in any of this flu shit that seems to be killing everyone out here. Damn, I had it for 2 weeks, got over it. To celebrate, went to a restaurant and got food poisoning. I received that email in February. That thing is like a diamond. I mean, it's got facets. It's like, there are so many dimensions to that. So many levels to enjoy. I never responded to it. I didn't know how. I was traveling with Jonathan Bird when I got it, and we'd be riding in the car, and he'd say, hey, read me that email again. What kind of invitation is that? Like I just read. It'd be like asking a gal out on a date and telling her you can only afford to take her to some shitty place, but as long as she doesn't wear the dress she was wearing when you met, it's all gonna be good. I don't understand. Anyway, I didn't know what to do with this thing, so I took out all the specific information and I put it on my fan page on Facebook, and I just said, what would you say to this? And there was like 100 responses. Some people wrote in response to every line, like they broke it down, you know? Anyway, Taylor Ashton, who, by the way, tonight has been helping us out with our guitars, Taylor's one of the first people to respond, and he said, man, you gotta write a song about this. I think just a few hours went by, and it's like down thread. Taylor was like, never mind, I got it. So what I'd really like to do, to kick off this second set, I just would really like to invite him out here to sing this song with me. Would you please welcome to the stage Mr. Taylor Ashton.
A duet for you fine folks. Hey there, Corin, I like your sound. You're doing something that I like. And if you ever pass through town, well, you should feature at my open mic. I'll give you $50 and drinks. What do you think? Oh, the crowd is gonna love your songs. But there was just one little thing. Well, your introductions are kind of long, and they just want to hear you sing. Well, if you can change your style for us, I can give you $50. I'll throw in a couple drinks. What do you think? Just change, 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 change. You fit right in if you just change. Be so normal if you weren't so strange. Change.
I received your note today. Thank you for your offer, man. I'm a little concerned about the pay. Could we make it 20 grand? Maybe change the venue. We'll hold it in my living room. Forget about the open mic. I'll talk and sing the whole damn night. We'll serve only milk to drink. What do you think? On second thought, I have to decline. I just don't think it'd make a good fit. You don't want my story time, and I don't want to deal with your shenanigans. Next time you ask someone to sell out, you better have more to sell out. The $50 and a couple drinks. You wanna know just what I think? Well, I ain't gonna play for you or anyone who asked me to. Change, 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 change. You fit right in if you just change. You'd be so normal if you weren't so strange. Change. Oh, change, 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 change. You fit right in if you just change. Be so normal if you weren't so strange. Change. You'd be so normal if you weren't so strange. Change.
Taylor Aston of Fish and Bird.
And a big thanks to all those touring musicians who have been so kind to come on to my little radio show and not get paid. What a great song. That was fabulous. And the intro, too. I just had to play them both. And actually even had to customize that intro, as you could hear there, because there were a few choice words in the mix, too. But great stuff. Corin Raymond from Canada has a brand new CD, and it's called What to Do. Well, that was the intro, and the song was called Change. The CD is called Paper Nickels. It's actually a book. It's a neat little package, and it's a double CD thing. Yeah, with a big book in the middle of it. Definitely worth checking out. Corin Raymond and the Sundowners. We heard from Hooray for the Riff Raff in there before that. And Look Out Mama, that's the title track from their CD. Great stuff. I love that a lot. We had She and Him in there with Black Hole from the She and Him Volume 1 coming out of Ray Lambiasi. And The song I'm in Love with Zooey Deschanel from his new CD, Time Leaves Things Behind. And of course, you know, who's in She and Him, right? Zooey Deschanel, of course. Yes, we had to play those back to back. We had something from Trail Mix in Pinecone Radio. Thanks to Peter Gullerud for Gumby for the Visually Impaired. We heard the Small Planets Part 1. And we had the Trail Mix intro there. Very long set, but it was worth it. There was a lot of good stuff in there, definitely. And we will be hearing more from Peter before the end of the show, so don't go anywhere. Well, I played something for the King earlier in the evening, the King of Rock and Roll. We're going to play something for the King of Bluegrass now, Jimmy Martin. His birthday would be tomorrow. He would have turned 85. He passed away when he was 77, I believe, back in 2005. So we're going to do a little birthday set here for Mr. Jimmy Martin. He's one of my favorite bluegrass musicians of all time. Going to get a little tribute to start here. If you listen to this show at all, you've probably heard this song before from Gary Brewer and the Kentucky Ramblers. Here's Jimmy Martin's Songs for Dinner on Out of the Woods.
First thing every morning on the radio, it's Bill Monroe for breakfast, and then off to work I'd go. Bluegrass played all through the days of summer, fall, and winter. Every night we'd hear them Jimmy Martin songs for dinner.
Mr. Jimmy Martin is the king. He keeps our home together with the way he picks and sings.
Even my old hunting dog has got some big old inner.
Sings along when we have Jimmy Martin songs for dinner.
I tell my sweet darling she's my queen. I say I want her for herself, not her turnip greens. Now she can't skin a rabbit, but I still think she's a winner, because she loves to hear them Jimmy Martin songs for dinner.
Mr. Jimmy Martin is the king. He keeps our home together with the way he picks and sings.
Even my old hunting dog has got some big old inner.
Sings along when we have Jimmy Martin songs for dinner.
Jimmy is the king, no doubt. And I can holler like him when I turn the coon dogs out. When I get sick and helping of them widder maker beans, I know that I'll be hearing Jimmy Martin in my dreams.
Mr. Jimmy Martin is the king. He keeps our home together with the way he picks and sings.
Even my old hunting dog has got some big old inner.
Sings along when we have Jimmy Martin songs for dinner. Sings along when we have Jimmy Martin songs for dinner.
Oh. Hey, all you coon hunters, speak to 'em, Pete. Man, just listen, what a jaw on a dog.
Catch a coon and we got a skinner. The preacher man's a coming for a Sunday dinner.
Run, Pete, run as fast as you can. Gotta catch a coon for the preacher man. Run, Pete, run as fast as you can. Gotta catch a coon for the preacher man.
Get the broom and scrub the wall. Gotta have them clean for the preacher to call. Granny's in the kitchen and rolling the dough. Mama's in the living room scrubbing the floor.
Run, Pete, run as fast as you can. Gotta catch a coon for the preacher man. Run, Pete, run as fast as you can. Gotta catch a coon for the preacher man.
later. Lisa Searle's in the garden pulling off mater. Well, Jimmy's on the back porch shucking the corn, waiting for the preacher man to toot his horn.
Run, Pete, run as fast as you can. I gotta catch a tune for the preacher man. Run, Pete, run as fast as you can. We gotta catch a tune for the preacher man.
Well, boys, this is fun, son. Is the preacher man's not going to get that finger-licking good chicken? He's going to have him a big coon in. Because my number one coon dog, old Pete, has got him trained. Look at him, Raymond, a 25-pounder. Speak to him, big man. Yes, we love the jaw and the tuckle. Man, look at that coon, boys. Talk to him, Pete. Speak to him, big man. Look at that big coon, Raymond.
Hi, fans. This is Jimmy Martin. You know, back in the late 50s, me and the Sunny Mountain Boys, with Paul Williams and J.D. Crow, were regular members on the Big Louisiana Hayride in Shreveport, Louisiana. During that time, we played a lot of show dates in the big state of Texas. One little town I remember was Lubbock. We played a show there, then after the show that night, some people come backstage to get our autographs. They said they listened to us every Saturday night on the Louisiana Hayride. Their names was Johnny Sanders and his beautiful wife, Anita. They then invited us home with them to spend the night. So while we was at their home, we had a little picking and a jam session. So Johnny set his little tape recorder up in his living room, and he recorded while we was a picking. So I thought maybe you fans would like to hear what me and the Sunny Mountain Boys, with J.D. Crow and Paul Williams, with the help of little Terry Smith on the bass fiddle, I thought you fans would like to hear what it sounded like. So here it is, and I hope you like it.
Ken Brooks was a big bay horse, rode down Cherokee, Maine. He rode around Memphis, beat the Memphis train. Beat the Memphis train, oh Lord, beat the Memphis train. Ken Brooks said to Molly, would make it some bread. Running in the hot sun, got fever in my head. Fever in my head, oh Lord, fever in my head.
Away, darling, leave. with my blessings. Once in a while, let me hear from you. If we never meet again before my life is over, I'll leave this world loving you. Life will be so lonesome without you. If we never meet again, I'll love you forever, and I'll leave this world loving you. But my memory, for they're good ones, and they'll see me through. If we never meet again this side of heaven, I'll leave this world loving you. If we never meet again this side of heaven, this world loving you.
The great Jimmy Martin, who would have turned 85 tomorrow as we are doing the show on the 10th of August. Yes, indeed. Jimmy Martin and the Sunny Mountain Boys there. And we just heard If We Never Meet Again in This Side of Heaven from Songs of a Freeborn Man. In fact, all three of those little bits you heard there were from that CD of old tidbits and great stuff. Molly and Ten Brooks, of course, one he did back in the day with Bill Monroe and the Bluegrass Boys, doing it there with his own band, the Sunny Mountain Boys. Yeah, he did an intro there for us, and we had Run, Pete, Run to start off the set there, taking that from 20 Greatest Hits. Gary Brewer and the Kentucky Ramblers started off the set, of course, with Jimmy Martin Songs for Dinner in tribute to Jimmy Martin. So there you have it. Well, we missed a break. We've been playing so much fun and good music that we just forgot to do it. So we're going to do it right now. We'll be right back after this.